Everybody, what is going on? It is Crypto Bobby. Hope you are having a great day, great night, wherever you are watching or listening in from. Today, I want to talk about a couple different things. The first being Bitcoin had a rough Q2 that we haven't really seen in a long time. Probably none of us have. It has been positive gains for Bitcoin over the past 7 years. So we'll talk a little bit about that and what it meant for Q2, what it might mean for Q3 and beyond. Also want to talk a little bit about Tezos. If you're not familiar, Tezos was really one of the largest ICOs ever that occurred last year, and the tokens were locked up and finally became transferable and tradable, and Tezos dumped off really, really hard. So I'm evaluating Tezos potential entries here and kind of interested in getting your thoughts on that as well. And then lastly, want to talk a little bit about some of the ICO silliness that's happening a little bit with companies spending money or investing money on things that traditionally speaking are, I don't know, maybe a little bit questionable. You know, you might have your own thoughts, but definitely a little bit questionable. So we'll get into all that and more today on this episode. Before we get into this episode today, I want to give a quick shout out to the guys over at honeyminer.com. I am friends with both of the co-founders, and they are working, and so far they've created one of the easiest and simplest ways to start mining with a GPU and a CPU. So if you are new to cryptocurrency or you're just trying to mine and experiment with it in a really, really easy, simplistic fashion, I would highly recommend checking out HoneyMiner. I know a lot of people right now are looking for different ways to quote unquote diversify their income or try to make money in the crypto markets, even when the markets are moving sideways or down. Mining is obviously one of those ways. There's a lot of people that get really advanced with it. But if you're looking for the simplest way to get started, I would highly recommend you check out honeyminer.com. I'll put a link below in the description, but it is one of the best ways right now, at least just starting off to get into the mining game, to experiment, to try it out. So if you got an old CPU or a GPU lying around your house, you got an old gaming computer, download honeyminer.com, give it a shot, check it out. And thanks again to the guys for bringing this episode to the forefront. So jumping on over here to CoinDesk now, they had a pretty decent article, I thought, just at least from a data perspective, putting things together on the Q2 price movements for Bitcoin. And obviously, the overall marketplace typically tends to follow Bitcoin as we look at this. And this was the worst period for Bitcoin, the worst Q2 for Bitcoin over the past 7 years. Typically, it has been a very positive quarter for Bitcoin. Usually a lot of bullish momentum moving Bitcoin forward and helping to kind of advance the industry. However, this quarter was definitely different. While it sounds pretty actually slight when you think about it, there was an 8% pullback for Bitcoin in the CoinDesk BPI price index that they use. So there was an 8% pullback, which actually relatively speaking, relative to the pain a lot of people felt over Q2, I think sounds fairly decent. But this was the first really big L for Bitcoin in a long time. And what does this go to show me, or kind of how am I thinking about it right now? Well, number one, I think a lot of people have been looking in the past at like historical context or trying to provide historical context to Bitcoin and to the crypto asset market as a whole. And, you know, there have been a lot of different things like the consensus pump in the past, where, you know, a lot of people, myself included, talked about that. There were a lot of people on CNBC talking about how, you know, every year it pumps during consensus, it pumps during Q2. There are a lot of different things that you can look at historically speaking that sound compelling, and you think that, you know, the potential to continue that trend continues over time and over time. However, you know, there is no guarantee of that at all. And I think, you know, a lot of times we look for some types of statistics like this to prove our, you know, our own biases, whether it's bullish or bearish. But in a lot of cases, a lot of the historical evidence, a lot of the historical data for Bitcoin and for crypto assets, because they performed so well as an asset, is mostly on the bullish side of the house. So I just think that, you know, as we continue to see these types of statistics where, you know, maybe something is really positive over and over and over again in the past, does not necessarily mean that, again, you know, be it consensus, be it Q2, be it a lot of these different things, does not necessarily mean that past results guarantee future returns. That's one thing I think that I kind of take away when I look at this, and hopefully you can take away there as well. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, if you're on CoinMarketCap right now, I'll refresh the page here too, but if you're on CoinMarketCap, you might be scrolling down, and depending upon when and where you got in cryptocurrency, you might be popping down here and see a new coin in the top 20, Tezos, however the hell you want to pronounce it. But Tezos right now is just north of $1 billion. market cap wise, it's priced about $1.71. And if you're not familiar with Tezos, it was an ICO that raised a significant amount of money, especially at the time prior to EOS raising $4 billion. But Tezos raised a significant amount of money in the summer of 2017, kind of during the height of the ICO craze. And they are a platform in a lot of respects similar to an EOS or an Ethereum, kind of a general purpose computing platform with a really strong focus on governance, of decentralized governance. That's kind of their big value proposition, somewhat in a similar way to EOS is. And Tezos got in a number, there were a number of issues with Tezos that popped up, be it with their legal foundation. There was a Tezos Foundation. There was the actually people that were building the Tezos, building the Tezos blockchain, building the Tezos platform. Number of different issues popped up, really delayed the process. But finally, last week, the Tezos coins finally became transferable and tradable, and not just Tezos futures on HitBTC, but they finally became transferable, finally became tradable, and they hit exchanges. The first one being gate.io, which is not supposed to be available to US residents. But you can see here as we're looking at this, if you're watching on the video, Tezos actually sold off about 75%+ from the initial listing on July 2nd of this week. So looking at this, I have been kind of thinking to myself, and there's a lot of different commentary, there's a lot of different discussion on Tezos as a whole. But when I'm looking at this, there are a number of kind of factors around the actual dump. Number one, pretty incredible to think that like there are not many tokens out there or any, at least in the crypto asset community, not many things out there that actually have a year-long lockup. Tezos was kind of an inorganic year-long lockup. You invested in that ICO. You literally had your funds locked up. Let's say you invested 10 Ethereum when Ethereum was at $250 a pop, or 100 Ethereum or whatever. You invested that Ethereum. That was locked up in Tezos for about a year or so, and you could do absolutely nothing about that. So as soon as those Tezos coins became transferable, then there was obviously a rush to gain some level of liquidity. The ICO price itself was, I believe, at around 45 cents or so, trading at $1.70 right now, in that $1.70-$1.66 range. So certainly still performing up on USD wise, but it was basically held your funds hostage for a little bit of time. So I think it was a massive dump in the price action. But when I'm looking at Tezos right now and thinking about Tezos as a whole, the comparables are interesting. And this is where I think, you know, myself personally, I am looking or trying to potentially consider an entry point into Tezos. I'm not exactly sure the best way to acquire Tezos right now, being that gate.io is not allowed for US investors. I don't know what type of KYC or whatever they might do. Might see if I can buy some Tezos over the counter from somebody, or OTC. We'll see what happens with that. But when I look at the current market capitalization, so it's a general platform, and as we've talked about, or as I've talked about in a lot of times in the past, you have these platforms like you have platforms like Ethereum, obviously is the largest general purpose computing platform, smart contract platform, whatever you want to call it. It's trading at a $46 billion market cap right now. EOS is number two. EOS right now is, I think, as a lot of people would consider, probably the quote unquote hottest alternative to ETH, or the Ethereum killer. And then you've had Cardano that has done really well in the past and has pulled back significantly. Ontology that has kind of come out of nowhere. NEO, Ethereum Classic, NEM, and Udemy even. But you have seven right now. You have seven general purpose platforms that are actually trading above valuation of Tezos. And arguably speaking, I personally am not a massive fan of decentralized governance. I kind of think it's a misnomer in some respects. And I think that what we've seen with EOS is that it doesn't always work so great, and there's a lot of times to figure it out. And granted, EOS is not necessarily a failure yet. Has the launch gone well? Not in my opinion, but can they figure things out and innovate on the fly? Yes. But with Tezos, you know, trying to do something somewhat similar to how EOS is doing to enhance scalability and have governance on the platform, I'm looking at the valuation right now of Tezos, and you see right now just north of $1 billion, $1,034 million. And pretty low volume, or not necessarily low volume, close to $7 million in 24-hour volume, but really only traded. There's only one place where Tezzies, whatever you want to call them, only one place where they trade right now. Gate.io, the HitBTC, are actually Tezos futures. So as I'm looking at this, I'm kind of thinking to myself, hey, is this a decent opportunity to actually jump into a Tezos trade to potentially make a decent amount of money? Because if it's at a $1 billion market cap right now and we think it's anywhere near as competitive or better than something like Cardano, that's a 3x from that point in time. So that's kind of what I'm evaluating at this, you know, at this juncture. However, when we look at how things go, it actually already bottomed out at around $1.10 so far. And at this point in time, it's trading up to about $1.70. So I don't know if that was just the local bottom or if we're going to see that, you know, a little bit of support at the $1.10 mark. But I would say for myself personally, this is kind of an opportunity where I look at and I say, okay, there's a lot of people that are not hot on Tezos right now, a lot of people that are not really interested in it. It was pretty heavy sell pressure from the ICO being locked up for a year. Maybe it's a decent time to start looking at accumulation levels, as this could be a platform that people get excited about. And I think that's the big thing, is people tend to get excited about these platforms. Whether or not they get any level of adoption strictly from a trading perspective, that's something that I'm looking at right now. And it is kind of funny too. This is just a funny Reddit quote I saw here in the Tezos quote-unquote community, but somebody calling this sell-off gorgeous, saying, we love this sell-off. Let's get all the panickers and non-believers out of here and let the new believers and supporters come in. No better time than the present. Market volatility is so healthy for a new and vibrant cryptocurrency ecosystem blossom. Tezos draws down 40% attention to the project and makes people aware. Wonderful. Love it. This is an extremely high quality project, and patience is the test here. Most people don't have it. Conviction is correlated with outsized returns. Brothers and sisters, let's accumulate that Tez and keep baking, baking, baking. That is the funniest tweet I've ever heard, because obviously there are certain levels of delusionment when you drop 40, 50, 60, 70% in valuation at a given point in time. And not to say everything within that statement is not true. Obviously, you have to have some level of conviction with an investment. But if that isn't the most bag-holdery comment that I've ever seen in the entirety of the world, calling a sell-off gorgeous, sell-offs suck. Like, let's not lie. But that's also why I'm looking at this right now and saying, okay, this thing just sold off 60, 70%. Is now maybe a good entry after, is now maybe a decent entry point. So that's kind of what I'm thinking with Tezos right now. Would love to hear your thoughts in the YouTube comments below. If you're listening on the podcast, shoot me a tweet at @crypto_Bobby. Now, another thing that I wanted to bring up briefly is just some of the things I'm seeing with some of the ICO expenditures. I thought this was pretty funny. And some people might argue with me and say, hey, this is a fantastic investment. This is the best thing you could have ever done. But we have the crypto Visa card company Monaco bought crypto.com. Great domain name. Fantastic domain name. How much did they pay for it? Millions and millions of dollars. Undisclosed price, but a random professor of information science who actually sits on the board of directors at Tor had the domain for crypto.com, obviously, because has knowledge in cryptography and works at UPenn, so he's probably pretty damn smart. But Monaco spent a bunch of money on crypto.com. You go through the actual article. They said that they have close to $200 million on their balance sheet thanks to the surge of cryptocurrencies like Ether after they raised $25 million in June of 2017. Curious about how that math works out and how they invested that to get that exact number. I don't remember the exact price of that, but if they have $200 million in their balance sheet, sure, great, whatever. But I would just be aware of things like this, depending upon the project. I do think that a lot of companies are spending money probably needlessly before they have a revenue model, before they're making money. And the last thing you want to do is just blow through money, have a ridiculously high burn rate, and then at some point in time, I'm not saying it's going to happen with Monaco or anything else, but there's probably going to be a point in time where, and I've already heard behind the scenes with some companies that it is happening, where there are companies that are running low on cash in the bank account that have raised money in ICOs that have just been irresponsible with it, have not been intelligent with it. And things like this, I kind of think, How do you get the ROI from crypto.com? Maybe it's there, maybe it's not. I don't know. But sometimes I feel like this stuff might be a little bit, might be a little bit needless. And it also goes to the point of, and shout out to Nick Carter here at Nick_Carter. But talking about another thing that ICOs are doing, and this is raising a ton of, this is raising a ton of money, and then basically acting as hedge funds or VC firms, venture capital firms, to deploy money into their ecosystem. And I do think it's somewhat interesting, but also like, it's kind of a questionable thing for me because I just don't necessarily, granted, this was specifically Nick kind of called out. He said, I know the absurdity of ICOs raising too much and LARPing as hedge funds and venture capitalists has been pointed out before, but I'll say it again, this is absurd. And he was specifically referencing Block One, which is the company that develops EOS, essentially hired a former Jefferies Group, which is a large financial institution, former Jefferies Group executive to lead their $1 billion VC arm. So EOS Block One essentially has, Block One has a $1 billion venture capital arm. They raised $4 billion, they're taking 25% of that and deploying that capital to startups in the ecosystem. And a lot of people think that is a little bit absurd. I kind of agree with that as well. I think, you need to properly seed the ecosystem, but it's also about incentives, not just throwing money at it. But I think two interesting things to keep in mind on just how much money companies are spending and then how these hedge fund VC projects work for these companies that have raised a bunch of money, have a bunch of money to potentially help seed an ecosystem, how that can go moving forward. So that'll be interesting to watch there as well. Now, outside of that, guys, I'm keeping an eye on the market this weekend, kind of getting a feel for what's happening. Bitcoin's been chilling in the $6,600 range for quite some time. Not a ton of movement there. Haven't been making too many trades or anything like that. But like I said, I am considering an entry point on Tezos to see what might happen, where things might happen, and how I could best acquire that if I believe that we are kind of at a near bottom here for the time being. Really do appreciate the time. Again, check out honeyminer.com if you're interested in getting started with a really simple mining solution. And thank you guys so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Hope you have a good one. Take it easy. Peace.